No, no, wait a minute. This is wrong. No. This isn't right. It's only the 1st of December. It's too early. Oh, for goodness sakes. Oh, come on now. Christmas is still 24 days away. This is stupid. I can't believe this. This is just, hold on, folks. Obviously, we got technical difficulties.
And we begged her not
to. Oh, no, no, not louder. Hello?
Got her medication.
I'll fix this, folks. I promise. I apologize. I have no idea what's going on here.
When we found her.
Stupid machines. I hate computers.
At the scene of the attack.
This is just, I don't know. Hopefully I can get it fixed. This is just... Oh, thank you, Grace.
There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone. Or are you without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose. To enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody. Today's date is... the 1st of December, 2015, and guess what? I love when this happens. My voice is a little hoarse. I love it when my voice is hoarse. Actually, I don't like my voice, so when I sound kind of rough and gravelly like this, I kind of like it. Yeah, what's better than on a horse ranch with a guy that spent his whole life with horses and all of a sudden my voice is a little hoarse? All right. Well, first, I guess we need to talk about the obvious computer malfunction. Something about the month of December makes the computer go crazy. And I'm kind of afraid to talk about it because, you know, you start talking about it and you know, you just don't know what's going to happen. And no. Oh, jeez. Well, that was a close call. All right. Let's talk about close calls. I don't know exactly where we are, how many shows we've done, how long it's really been. Jim knows that stuff. I really don't pay attention. But we've been doing it for a while now, 2-3 years. Seems like 50. But we talk about the word testimonies, and we talk about accuracy, and we talk about doctrine and scripture, and we throw a lot of terms out there that... well, they sound ominous, and they sound important, and they sound like you really should perk up your ears and sit up and pay attention. And Jim and I are very grateful that you listen to the show, no question about it. But this evening, we're going to talk about what is a testimony, and what's the difference between testimony and just... there's no way to other say it. You're just full of yourself. And a lot of the times, you're not at fault. You just don't know any better. Perhaps you grew up in a household, or you've spent year after year after year bouncing from religious organization and building and building, and you would think, okay, this one's it, this is accurate, and then a few years go by, and well, nothing really happens, so you try another one, and they're all about the same. And so he says, well, I guess that's all there is for me. And then you listen to Jim's radio show, and you think, hey, wait a minute, there's a lot more going on here. A lot more on many levels. So tonight we're going to combine a few things. Humbling. A redirection of your thoughts and your actions. To redemption, to salvation, to being saved. To repenting. To what is a true blue testimony. What does it mean to testify? Because you can say God is good and God is great and that you love God and that you've been saved and you've been reborn and you worship somewhere and you might have the Bible memorized from cover to cover and someone can just say one or two sentences and you can tell them what book, chapter, and verse that is in the Bible, and they'll say, oh my gosh. But, hey, there are people that are in prison for 20, 30 years that have that book memorized that have nothing to do with Christianity. It was just something to memorize and to impress people because it always does. But a real Christian testimony, what is that? And it isn't so much that somebody else identifies what a real Christian testimony is. That's not the point at all. The point is, do you recognize your own Christian testimonies? Do you have any Christian testimonies? Would you know one if it came up to you and stuck its tongue out and went blah, 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 in your face? Would you know a Christian testimony when you heard one? Would you know that there is a testimony to be had if you saw something happening with grace that had nothing to do with you? Because if you're real quiet right now and you're saying, I don't know, I'm not sure I know what you're talking about, that's not a bad thing, that's a good thing. Because that means that you have an open mind and an open heart. And you're willing to admit to yourself and forget about me and forget about Jim and this radio show and the other people that listening and your family and friends. For that's not the point. The point of tonight's show is, what do you think of yourself? What do you feel about yourself? What do you have that is something to testify about? Because what is a testimony is the difference between heaven and hell. It's the difference between having pain and prescriptions and having no pain and no prescriptions. Because Jim, the more we do the radio show, the more you travel around the world talking to people, the more people that are healed, and unfortunately, the more people that are not healed and their prayers go unanswered, there's testimony becomes more obvious and a bigger part of the daily life of someone who believes in Christ than what people are really led to believe or what they may think.
Yeah, I think the idea that testimony can actually go both ways is kind of enlightening to most people. For instance, I don't think many people that are Christians have really given credence to the fact that a negative testimony really bears witness that there's not much positive. I know that kind of sounds strange, but my point is to say it would be nice to just magnify the one testimony that you have that is positive, that does show that there's an answer to prayer over the last year, but not then mentioning 364 days out of the last year, there were no testimonies.
Well, the fact that there's no testimonies is a testimony.
It is.
That's really the bit. There's two really large testimonies that people can testify about, and they need to acknowledge. One is that when you actually have testimony, something positive that is occurring in your life that you're witnessing, that you're experiencing. And unfortunately, the other big testimony is one of no progress, of nothing. Basically saying, I don't know, I never see grace, I never have a prayer answered, and neither does any of my friends or anybody I've ever been related to. Well, that is one whopper of a testimony.
Yeah, it is.
It's a testimony of being disconnected and a type of failure to progress and achieve anything.
You know, I'd almost like to take liberty here to say to the listeners, if already what was just mentioned and what I brought up and then what BJ just further stressed, if that's something that you've found yourself from the time that you've been listening to this show becoming more aware of, whereas before you heard it here, it was something that you didn't really have maybe an understanding of. Boy, I'd love to hear that on an email or a text message, just letting us know that, yes, since I've been listening to the show, I've begun to look at things from both angles. Instead of, because see, this is my testimony from growing up. We didn't really put a lot of testimony in the negative side. We didn't really talk about that. We put just the testimony, even if it was only one over a course of a long period of time, in the positive side. So since I've been, you know, doing this show for the last three and a half years, it seems like 50 years, but since I've been doing it for a very long time like that, this has really changed with me, that I'm beginning to very quickly, very readily be able to notice the negative side of testimony, not just the positive side. So whereby I would look at the healings that take place and be thankful for that, I'm really conscious of how many didn't. And it gives you a really good perspective.
It does. Let's talk about text messages and emails. The way you text the show with your cellular phone is the first word that you... And remember, folks, my voice is a little hoarse. I like my voice being hoarse. I'm on a horse ranch. I work with horses. I think it's perfectly acceptable that my voice be hoarse, that I be a little horsey. The way you text the show is the first word that you type is Ranger, R-A-N-G-E-R. Ranger is no longer with us. She passed away on the 19th of November, just a little over a week or two ago. And then after you type the word Ranger, you type your message, your comment or question about tonight's topic of testimony or witnessing, whatever funny word you want to use. And then when you press the send button, there's no one, there's no area code, it isn't even a phone number, it's just five numbers, five digits, 2 9s and 3 0. So the first word you type is the word Ranger, R-A-N-G-E-R, and then you send it to 99000. So the first word you type is Ranger, then you type the rest of your text, and you send that to 99,000. The way you email the show, and Jim, we got four emails now, is the name of the radio show, The Abiding Presence. No capital letters, no spaces, just all one word, The Abiding Presence, at G, the letter G, as in Grandma's Holiday Gravy, gmail.com. Okay, we got an email that came in on the 29th, which was a couple days ago, and it said, yes, the Weaver kids want to see pictures of the puppies, and we'll tell people about this later on in the show.
Okay.
Then they say, not just a new puppy, but also a kitty, and then so you can call it My Kitty, like or name the dog Mike, and then Kitty, I don't really get the joke. But apparently the Weaver kids just don't want the ranch to have a new dog. They want that ranch to have a new kitten as well.
Well, the ranch has three kittens.
We do. and the little girl kitty, barn kitty number 5. She's at the vet clinic right now getting spayed, so because we don't need cats. Okay, we got a photograph here of... See, I'm almost... I really don't think we should talk about this photograph that somebody sent us from Nebraska.
Okay.
Here's the email. It came in 9 hours ago, and this photograph really bothers me. I'm very worried about this photograph. It says, "Hi, guys. We went to visit family in San Antonio, Texas for Thanksgiving. There was a place called Elf Acres that was a drive-through Christmas light display. I saw this one and immediately thought of you and the radio show. Hope you like it." This is from Christine out of Nebraska. And the reason this photograph scares me is I'm scared to bring it up because this is all made out of Christmas lights. There's a pickup truck with huge tires.
Okay.
A Christmas tree in the bed of the pickup truck.
Mm-hmm.
And a reindeer is driving the pickup truck.
Uh-oh.
And in front of the truck is a little old lady in a walker.
Grandma.
Don't. And so it looks like the pickup truck is going to... Oh, I know. I don't even want to talk about it. I just don't even... No! No! Oh, my God!
Grandma got run over by a reindeer walking home from our house Christmas Eve.
This is your fault, Jim.
My fault. No,
I don't even know how to turn this off.
But as for me and Grandma, we believe...
Yeah, see, that's, you know, I knew it. I didn't want to talk about that photograph. All right, we got one here that came in 14 minutes ago. It says, "Hey, BJ, what a fun way to open the show. You've got me laughing." This is Catherine from Ontario, Canada. We got another one here that's from Josiah. It says, "Hello, Mr. BJ and Mr. Jim. Mr. BJ, I wanted to say sorry for your loss of Ranger." Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And that's very kind of you to say. Everybody misses Ranger, and it's very quiet and very lonely here at the ranch because it was me and Ranger. Now it's me, the horses, and the barn cats. Ranger was the only dog here on the ranch. And we actually have some exciting news that... we probably should talk about, and that's right, it's a recording. Okay. It's real live dogs barking jingle bells, and that is the theme music for a new family member that's on the way to the ranch by the name of Robin. So whenever you hear dogs barking Christmas carols, it's called the Robin, R-I-B-I-N, the Robin Report. Do you like that, Jim?
I do.
All right, here's a fast Robin report to kind of cheer us up a little bit after hearing about Ranger. People just decided that I needed a dog. I'm still not sure, but I'm pretty sure. So I went on the hunt for a chocolate Labrador puppy. And after my first dog, Rose, and then my second dog, Ranger, that everybody on the show knows, I knew what kind of breeding and bloodlines I was looking for. And it was impossible. I had called and contacted over 20 Labrador, chocolate Labrador retriever breeders all over the United States. And when you get to the higher echelon of dogs, I didn't know this, but it isn't just chocolate labs. It's dachshunds. It's golden retrievers, German shepherds, pugs, Pomeranians. When you go for the top elite, top quality genetic dogs, they're sold before there's ever puppies in mom. I mean, when a breeder decides that they're going to breed their dog, they start advertising, and before the dog is even pregnant, they've already sold all the puppies.
Wow.
And so it's literally like a six-month wait by the time you breed the dog, by the time the puppies are old enough. It's about five months. And then here's the deal. What if they've already got people ahead of you? And that's what I was running into. Everywhere that they had an opening for someone to buy or put a down payment on a female chocolate lab, I was at the last of the list. I was a Johnny-come-lately person. So that meant if there was an X amount of female dogs, I could wait 5 to 6 months and not get a dog.
Hmm.
And here I was feeling pretty sad. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning. And all of a sudden, I refreshed the screen on Chocolate Labrador Retriever puppies. And all of a sudden, there was a new breeder on the top that I hadn't seen before. And I went to it. And this is what it said: Christmas puppies available. Well, this was Thanksgiving, the night of Thanksgiving. And, well, nobody answered their phone. Nobody's answering emails. So I left them an email, and I sent them a telephone message. Well, anyways, the next day they returned my call. And this is what they said. They said they had a 3-year-old champion chocolate door Labrador retriever that unfortunately for the last couple years they tried to breed and it never took. The dog had amazing championship traits and bloodlines, and they were really sad because the dog couldn't carry puppies. So this is what they said. They said they prayed about it. In a last ditch effort, they hauled the dog all the way up to Omaha, Nebraska from Missouri. And they artificially inseminated the dog with this other world-class known chocolate lab champion field trial dog. Veterinarian said it would never take, waste of time and money. And all of a sudden, she was pregnant. And it just so happens that in the middle of the night on Thanksgiving night, I saw it first. I was the first call. So they said, I told them my story. And they said that this dog was miracle babies. They didn't have any idea it was going to have puppies. They weren't sure. The puppies were born on the 15th of November. And this was the 24th. And they wanted to wait to make sure that all the puppies were nursing and healthy. And they said, well, you can have pick of the litter. And I says, well, I'm not interested in any of the boys. I'm just interested in the girl puppies. They says, well, there's 3 boys and there's 3 girls. And their eyes aren't open yet. So they told me how much money it was. And I said, okay, I'll try to come up with the money. And I sent them a little bit of a down payment. And I have pick of the litter. And here's the kicker. The dogs will be ready for pickup Christmas Eve. So on Christmas Eve, I'm going to be driving 6 hours northeast of Tulsa, Oklahoma, into the heart of the state of Missouri to pick up a dog that I've named Robin, R-O-B-I-N. And then I'm going to turn right around and bring Robin home to the ranch. So while most people are eating and not some traveling, on the 24th of December, I'll leave the ranch at 6 in the morning, and I'll be back about 8 o'clock Christmas Eve night, me and my new puppy, Robin. So that's the first Robin report. And, oh, by the way, Jim will attest to this. If you want to go to the BJ Rickard Facebook page.
That's right.
There are pictures of the mom, pictures of the babies, pictures of the girls, and all the reactions on people on Facebook that are happy that I'm getting another dog and everybody misses Ranger. And we received our first donation from the Matsons in Florida.
Yep.
Dennis and Muriel Matson sent a check towards Robin. A lot of people, we talked about it on last week's show, a lot of people feel that Ranger belonged to all of us, that Ranger was part of the radio show, and that a lot of people miss having a dog as being part of the show. I know Jim does, don't you?
Yeah.
And so a lot of people feel that this is our family on Tuesday nights, and the family should have a radio dog. And so we've had people ask for the P.O. box so that they could send envelopes. And thank you for the Matsons. The Matsons are the first envelope to make it to Bixby for Robin. And so that's our first Robin report. Now, Jim, when it comes to testimony and testifying, when you travel and people are talking about testimonies, do you see any confusion on their parts? Do you see that the difference of variances on what somebody thinks testimony is? Do you see changes and confusion?
You know, since, let's just say this. See, I grew up more of a Baptist persuasion where we certainly believed wonderfully in salvation, but we didn't have an understanding of healing. So that wasn't a part of it, or prosperity and God's blessings too well. But there were a lot of things that we did have that were great. But anyhow, moving past that to say, it's been in the last 29 years that I've been exposed to healing as a testimony. And I can say that I've watched the quality of healing testimonies really go south, especially in the last, let's just say, maybe 6-7 years. So where a testimony that people really enjoyed and would shout about and get real excited about was that there, let's just say there was a cancerous growth. And the cancerous growth was there. It was acknowledged that it was there and present. But prayer was offered, or a prayer was given by the person, and that tumor, that growth, disappeared. Now that's a testimony. But today, most of the testimonies are all bathed around the doctor's surgery, the different medications that someone's on, that they're feeling better. I have a new pain medication, so I don't hurt as bad. Praise the Lord. A new doctor. Thank God. Most of the testimonies are around what man can do. They've changed. And there are not many testimonies anymore. Now, of course, I'm getting a chance to see a lot of them still, just in the meetings that we have, where it's 100% God. Bam, right there on the spot. But a lot of people that I've noticed are testifying and using the world as a part of their testimony, something that Jesus didn't do.
You know, my most recent testimony is Ranger and Robin. Literally hours, just a couple of days before Ranger passed away, Robin was born.
Right, right.
And there's all kinds of little coincidences that I guess aren't coincidences that you would say you were destined to have this puppy named Robin. There's similarities in breeding of all three dogs. There's the mom's, the name of Robin's mom is Shadow, and one of my all-time horses was named Shadow that I named. That was a miracle horse itself. I mean, there's all, as I was telling you all this stuff, you just kept saying, that's grace. There's just grace all over this puppy, mm-hmm. Robin.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that people are asking for the P.O. box address because they want to be a part of the puppy and help out is amazing. And but people miss testimonies every day of their lives.
Yes, they do.
And it isn't because they're stupid. It isn't because they're worshiping the devil. It's the opposite. They're trying to pay their bills on time.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to be the best person. They're trying to get the best grades in school. They're trying to do everything their parents say to be the good child. They're trying to be a good parent. And they're trying to do right by their parents that are in nursing homes. It's the people that are just burdened, almost like they have an invisible 80-pound bag of rocks in a backpack on their back, that the world has just got them so consumed, and they're trying to dot every I, cross every T, and do everything perfectly every day, and to keep an eye on the prize, which is Christianity in heaven. Those are really the people that miss testimonies.
Yeah, yeah.
because they forget that Scripture talks about let the worries of the day take care of themselves.
You know, I'm at that passage right now, and I think it's important to read it, verse 31 through 34. This is Jesus talking, and it's exactly what BJ is mentioning. Therefore, Jesus said, "Do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek." Now, when he says that, what he's saying is the alternate reality. In other words, the reality that Adam and Eve brought into this world's existence, which is what? Instead of being in the garden where God does it all, Adam and Eve are now subject to what? The laws of sin and death. Or you could say, they've got to do everything. They're going to sweat. They're going to work. They're going to make stuff happen. And if they don't make it happen, it's not going to happen. Because it says here, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. You know, the necessities of life, God knows you need them. But Jesus said the real system is operated by seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then these things will be added to you. Well, notice who does the adding. God does the adding these things to you. That's the testimony. But notice what Jesus says about it. See, people have every single day, there are testimonies that people share, and most of them are about what they can do. People will share testimonies about the record that they broke. People will share testimonies about the new raise that they got. People will share testimony about the grades they got in school. And some will share testimony about after they graduated, they ended up getting a scholarship. And then the new job that they got. And they'll testify about all kinds of things. But most of what is testified in the earth is all about the flesh and the world and what man can do to achieve these things on his own. Jesus is telling us that's the wrong system. That system was introduced with Adam and Eve, and it literally has overtaken the world. But Jesus is trying to get our focus to be on God, because when God's your focus and you connect to him, you'll have all the same testimonies that anyone else could have, except it'll be about what God did for you.
Okay, we got an email that just came in. It says great report regarding Robin.
Good.
Looking forward to her getting there to save the shows like Ranger always had to. You know, he said laugh out loud, but that's really true. Ranger made the show.
Yeah.
And Robin will too. It'll be curious to hear a puppy bark.
Sure it will.
Instead of that big, boisterous adult dog that Ranger barked. Can't listen to rest of the show tonight, babysitting the grandkids, and my 4-year-old grandson said something about finding some duct tape he wanted to tie his pops up with, so I'm typing with one finger and I'm unable to answer the phone right now. That's funny.
That sounds like Breakfast Ed.
Yeah, shout out to Pastor Brian and Joe and Josiah Edwards. All the best, Breakfast Ed. Well, thanks, Breakfast Ed,
thanks, Ed.
Talking about Robin. We got an email here that says, very excited. They started their email off correctly. Don't mention my name. So that helps. It says, really excited to hear that the radio show is going to have a new puppy. I'm so excited. The P.O. box that's on the radio show website, is that where we send any help for the new puppy? It is.
Yeah.
It's the P.O. Box 68 in Bixby, Oklahoma. That's where you can send an envelope. We had somebody sent me a Facebook message. They were listening to the show just now, and they went on my Facebook page, and they saw all the pictures of Mom and the puppies.
Good.
And they said they were going to send a Christmas card with a surprise inside.
Nice.
Well, it's a Christmas puppy, which is kind of neat. We still don't have any text messages, but we've had some nice emails tonight. Folks, I know you're listening. A lot of times you're shy about sending a text or an email, but the text messages, we don't know who sends them. They just pop up on a screen screwed to the wall here in the barn. And the emails, if you just say, don't mention my name, we won't. We don't want to embarrass anybody or anything like that, but this is your show as much as it's Jim's show. And so we want you to contribute. It isn't about a wrong or a right answer. It's about the opportunity to express yourself.
Right.
And to ask questions about your relationship with Christ honestly and openly without criticism, and to see if there's answers for your questions.
Yeah.
So make sure that you email the show or send a text, and it's on the same contacts page on the Abiding Presence website, www.theabidingpresence.com. On the contacts page, how to contact the show, how to send envelopes to the show for Robin, whatever you want to do is on that contacts page. Go. What do you want to say?
Yeah, well, I was going to say that, you know, when you look at the Bible, I think this will help with our subject matter a little bit too. When you look at the Bible from a broad perspective, of course, there's different perspectives that you can take. But this one, if you'll think about it, look at the first 4,000 years that we have record of. God creates man, and we have 4,000 years, roughly, of Jewish history with the nation Israel. And if you think about it, the Old Testament is nothing but testimonies. Testimonies of one individual versus another. And they just they really compound upon each other into volumes of confident testimony that proves that God is reliable and trustworthy. Then when you come over into the Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, the Gospels, where we have the stories about Jesus, what are those stories but really testimony? And when you begin the New Covenant, it begins with the book of Acts, or the actions of the apostles. And what are those actions? The testimonies of the apostles. And then you get into Paul's writings, you get into John's writings, you get into Peter's writings. And we do know that those writings are laced with a lot of doctrine. However, the whole purpose of the learning and the teaching is for you in the New Covenant to produce all the same type of experiences that anybody else had in the whole Bible. So if you really look at it from a broad perspective, is not the Bible telling us that the same way people had testimonies that are recorded in the Bible, you should too?
Yeah, that's very good. We got an email that came in about 4 minutes ago. It says, "Dear BJ and Jim, I know exactly what you are talking about in the terms of getting to access to a quality litter. With Deco, Grace gave me the idea and boldness to call a breeder in New Jersey whose dog won Best of Breed at Westminster." Wow. "I wasn't sure how it would work out because she did not know me, and like BJ said, these litters are not easy to get access to, but Grace gave me the courage to see if she was breeding her champion dog, and to my amazement, she was. Even though she did not know who I was or anything about me, we had an awesome conversation that lasted for a couple of hours. She invited me to come down and see the pups while they were growing up, and in the end, I ended up getting the pick of the litter, a puppy that was sired by a Westminster-winning Australian Shepherd. That pick was Deco."
Huh.
You know, this is from Venetia and Deco.
Yeah.
And it said, "That's a testimony I have of what Grace did for me after I lost my dog, Renoir, or Renoir? R-E-N-O-I-R, Renoir, or Renoir?"
Yeah.
She picks out really nice names for her dogs. But see, everybody that's listening to this show, no matter... Oh, speaking of kids, the Weaver kids stopped by the ranch today.
Yeah.
The oldest, obviously the criminal of the family, he crawled underneath the fence again, trespassed, walked a quarter of a mile up the hill to my house, knocked on my door, and handed me fresh homemade corn balls. The best I've ever had, by the way.
Yep, probably one of the best I've ever had.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd pay her to make those for me.
Yeah, Heather, if you hear that, we'll chip in.
And then whatever those little chocolate things she made, those were good too.
Yeah.
And I shared. She told me not to share with you. They said they're just for me.
Oh, she did.
Well, yeah, because the whole world knows that you steal candy from me.
Okay.
There's, you know, they know this to be true.
I'll have to make note of that
and
when
I said,
see her next.
I said, I share. I said, Jim doesn't, but I share. And I did share with you. And also, speaking of candy, and Morgan Hill, California. Grandma and Grandpa, outlaw bikers from Morgan Hill, California, sent us a huge box of peanut brittle, a huge box of assorted chocolates from, in my opinion, the greatest candy store in the world, See's Candy.
Yep.
S-E-E-S, See's Candy. They're all over California. I think that's where they started.
Yeah, in fact, the only way I used to get them is if I went to Colorado or West, I could get C's. Colorado had them too.
But I think they've expanded now.
Yeah, well, we've got them in the store right here in Tulsa.
But thank you for the candy.
Yes, thank you very much.
And the nice card, they sent a really nice card about Ranger.
Very
and
nice.
Missing Ranger, and that was very thoughtful of them to send that card.
Yep.
And we already commented about Muriel Mattson.
Yes.
Dennis and Muriel Mattson sending an envelope for Robin.
The Snowbirds down in Florida.
For Robin envelopes. The candy from the Weaver kids. The candy from Grandma and Grandpa Outlaw Bikers in Morgan Hill. Was that it? Was there three things or was there four things?
No, I think that was good.
No, that's it. We're up to speed.
You know,
we got a text that says, "Hello, gentlemen. Jim is a miracle. What Jim is a miracle, not authentic because it utilized medical science." No.
Well, no.
Explain that to him. Let me read it again. It says, "Hello, gentlemen." That threw me off. Yeah. I've never been accused of being a gentleman. It says, "Hello, gentlemen. Jim is a miracle, not authentic because it utilized medical science." You go first.
Well, the first thing I'll say is, show me where in Scripture Jesus used any type of medical science. In fact, here's an interesting thought. He actually picked, out of the 12 that were disciples, one of them was a doctor. But you never see Dr. Luke ever using his practice or engaging in his practice when he met Jesus, because from that point on, he learned that there was a better medicine. So the authentic miracle healing is for an individual to connect with God, and the power of God does the work through and through, from start to finish. The fact that we have included ourselves in medical science, and we do have some verified testimonies of God working with an individual while they're getting some medical treatment, doesn't make that the authentic miracle that everybody should be aspiring to. And here's the problem. The moment we begin to say, well, you know, you can just do both. Well, here's the problem with that is the majority of people that are out there, the moment they have the option to go to medical science, will do so.
In a heartbeat.
And, you know, we've made a comment like this before. If you were to take the tangibility of the world and the tangibility of God, the tangibility of the world would trump God almost every time. Because in most people's lives, what's most real to them is the tangibility of this world, the flesh, and the world. So to magnify the fact that an individual definitely recovered better, faster, maybe there was something the doctor couldn't do and God finished that up. I mean, we praise the Lord for anybody being healthy. I'm thankful for someone being healthy if they didn't trust God one bit and went to the doctor and the doctor took out whatever it was and they're doing well. I'm glad they're around. I'm glad they're alive. There's no condemnation in that. It's just what we're endeavoring to do is help people to experience what is so readily available. Jesus paid the price for it, and God wants you to experience it. And it's not as difficult as we think. We just have to begin to change our perspective.
There's many, 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 many countless levels to having a relationship with the guys. You can just acknowledge that there's a higher power. You can just acknowledge that when you die, you have something inside of you that goes somewhere, that isn't the end of things. You can just stop right there. You can go with, well, I don't know what happens, but something happens, and just stop there. Or you can commit yourself to a relationship with Christ and go for broke and completely devour all human, fleshly, worldly things and become some type of a Indian-style sitting monk on a mountaintop burning incense. Everybody has to choose their own intensity and their own appetite as to the type of relationship they want and they seek and they need. There's many levels. Well, each level is an individual, and as each individual, you have to consciously choose how much of the world and what of the world is important to you, and how much of Scripture and how much of the Bible is important to you, and how you either juggle those two things, or how you sacrifice one for the other, or how you eliminate one and bring in the other. And there really is no wrong or right answer to what I'm talking about, because it's about freedom of choice.
Right.
It's about each person deciding how close they want to be to God.
Sure.
And how close you are, or how far you travel in your worship, is going to have a big effect on tonight's topic. Your testimonies. What are you seeing? What kind of testimonies are you actually going to witness? Or more importantly, what kind of testimonies are you going to accomplish on your own?
Right, right.
And everybody is different. So brothers, sisters, moms, dad, grandparents, aunts and uncles, you really shouldn't compare yourselves to each other. You should be comparing yourself to yesterday, last year, last month, and yourself. We got an email that came in 3 minutes ago. It says, "Dear Jim, do you believe that there is no place for medicine or doctors in a believer's life if they are struggling to receive, as it is commonly phrased? Thanks, Jim. I know Jesus did not utilize medicine, nor is it God's best."
Well, again, it's kind of what we've already talked about. Both BJ and I gave our thoughts just with the last text message. But again, this goes back to personal choice. I don't believe it's necessary at all to have anything of the world. I believe that the closer you become in your awareness of God, in the reality of Christ, in the relationship where God is real to you, as you sense that He's a real person, the Scriptures and the Spirit, in other words, God Himself and the Scriptures becoming more real and more one in your life, why would you need anyone else or the help of anyone else? You wouldn't. And that's what we're all aspiring to, and that's what Jesus shows us. With the 3.5 years of His earthly ministry, He showed us that it was possible. So if an individual chooses medical science, it's simply your choice. I will not condemn you, not a bit. You won't hear me say, "I can't believe you're doing that." I'll pat you on the back and say, I trust that they're going to do a really good job. That's not my place. That's your choice. And you don't have to look down on it. If that's what you believe, if that's where you want to put your time, your energy, and your thoughts, then I guess my point would be to say, I trust you have a really good doctor.
Yeah. We got an email that came in 2 minutes ago. It says, "Happy to hear about your Christmas gift of a new puppy and how Grace is bringing her to you." And this comes from...
Oh, nice.
Grandpa and Grandma. Obviously making a midnight run. Well, no, it's 2 hours earlier.
Yeah.
It's 10 minutes to 9 here in the barn, so it's 10 minutes to 7 out in Morgan Hill, California. And I hope they heard us thanking them for the See's candy.
Hey, I wonder what the weather's like out that direction. Is it real cold this time of year?
Usually not. I'll tell you in just a second. Let's see. San Jose, California weather. You know, I went to high school and college really close to Morgan Hill, California. Here we go. Temperature right now, 6 p.m. tonight in the South Bay area, Morgan Hill, Campbell, Saratoga, Los Gatos, San Jose, 55 degrees. Humidity, 46%. There's no wind. Tonight's low will be 41. Tomorrow's high will be 64, partly cloudy. Maybe just a slight chance of a shower around 1 a.m. So,
okay,
not much different than here, actually.
Yeah, kind of similar.
Which is kind of surprising. Yep. You know who we haven't heard from is the people in the country of Trinidad that are by the South Pole, Antarctica.
Yeah, we haven't heard from them.
No, can you imagine what it must be like in Antarctica right now? I mean, it's just got to be, like, tremendously cold.
Hey, I'm going to read something here from John chapter 8. And, again, it just reiterates the point that we're endeavoring to make here. And it's probably good in light of the questions that were asked concerning medical science, which I trust we answered well. But Jesus is talking here, making some statements, because there was a woman that was brought to him by the Pharisees. And they were going to use her occasion of adultery, supposedly caught in the act, to shame her and trick Jesus. And, of course, Jesus didn't fall for it. And he spoke to the woman and spoke to everybody. He said, "He who has no sin, cast a first stone." Well, all the Pharisees realized they'd just been duped. They better just leave. And they did. When he was done, he looked up at the woman and he said, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus answered and said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." And Jesus made the comment. He said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Now, this is what I wanted to get to. Verse 13, it says, "The Pharisees therefore said to him, 'You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true.'" In other words, you testify of yourself. Jesus' reply was this: "Even if I testify or bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I came from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me." The reason I wanted you to read that is because Jesus so closely linked together his Father and his testimony. So, again, look at what Jesus is trying to say. His testimony is linked to the relationship with his Father, just like ours must be with Jesus.
It's really and good.
The stronger the bond is, the better the testimony.
Right now, as I speak, it's 26 degrees below zero at the South Pole, and they've got a little bit of a breeze going, so it feels like it's 48 degrees below zero.
Wow.
48.
Hmm.
It's over 100 degree difference between there and the barn. It's 100 degrees colder at the South Pole than it is in the barn right now.
Hmm.
100 degrees colder.
Wow. I bet you might have to put a jacket on.
Well, you'd want to make sure you had socks and underwear on would be a good start, I believe.
Sure.
If it was 48 degrees below zero. All right, folks. It's the first Tuesday of December. We're going to have, just to let you know, a little holiday update. We're going to have shows all the way through the first of the year, so there won't be any best of or anything like that. There will be a couple of pre-recorded shows. Well, one pre-recorded show and then one show done live where Jim will be somewhere, Colorado, Idaho, I don't know.
No, Idaho.
Idaho. Yeah. But we're going to have new shows all the way through the holiday season that you can share. And remember, there's going to be more Robin reports as we get closer to Christmas Eve. And we pick up the puppy, the new puppy for the radio show.
Yep.
Her name is Robin, R-I-B-I-N, Robin Rickard. She's a chocolate Labrador retriever. She was born on the 15th of November. Her eyes are open, and she's starting to play a little bit and get her coordination. And I'm going to be driving 6 hours and picking her up Christmas Eve is when she'll be ready, and I have pick of the litter. So Christmas Eve, I'll be doing 12 hours of driving to pick up Robin. So there's plenty of time for you to mail Christmas cards, Christmas envelopes towards Robin, for Robin. And thank you very much. We keep getting questions about, yes, just send them to the P.O. Box. And I've been checking the P.O. Box every day or two. And Muriel, Dennis and Muriel Mattson sent a really nice envelope for Robin. Okay, folks, we need some emails about what you think about testimony, your own testimonies, whether you have them or you don't. And don't feel like, I don't want you to get discouraged that if you don't have any testimonies of the kind we're talking about. Because if you did on a regular basis, well, frankly, there'd be no reason for you to listen to the show. This show is meant to be a tip, not necessarily a roadmap, but to give you food for thought, to motivate you, to talk about Christianity and a relationship with Christ in a way that is hopefully simpler and easier and more importantly, directly to the point, so that it's more accurate, more effective, and it's not representing anything but what it is. Information for you to use as you choose to help you in your choices as to just how important, how much of your life is for the guys, for yourself, for your own improvement.
Yeah, you know, when Paul, in his messages, talked so much about the Spirit-led life, sharing with the different churches that he established. Obviously, he shared things that were personal for each different church, making corrections from some of the things that he had learned and heard. But a big part of his message was, on this side of the cross, because of what Jesus did, every believer can have a relationship with the Spirit of God. In fact, one of those verses that I like in the Message Bible, verse 4 of Romans 8 says, "And now what the law code asked for but couldn't deliver, it's accomplished as we, instead of redoubling our own efforts, simply embrace what the Spirit is doing in us." So Paul's trying to get us to be inward-minded, to see ourselves as a spirit, to see ourselves connected to the Holy Spirit, and then begin to put great trust and reliability on all the things that take place in an individual's life when you have someone else in your life, when you can enjoy it and enjoy experiences, enjoy testimonies. I think it's really important for all of us to not lose sight of the fact of some of the simple messages that we've preached throughout the last 3 years. Some of those simple ones in the very beginning were about you are a spirit. You need to see life through your spirit. Remember, Jesus said that the Pharisees judged according to the flesh. Well, that's not how we look at life anymore. We look at life according to the Spirit. And here's one of the things, BJ, that I guess I'm looking at. It says, when Paul said embrace what the Spirit is doing, you know, it almost looks like the Holy Ghost is taking a nap in most people's lives. But the idea that the Spirit of God is a very active personality of the Trinity, that he's a very active person, means that there's probably testimonies everywhere that we're missing, don't you think?
It's not that, that grace has taken a nap in our lives or ignoring our lives or thinks we're unworthy. It's just the opposite. The guys are just chomping at the bit. They're just going crazy wanting to share the gifts that you were born with.
Yeah.
The sacrifices of Jesus, the teaching that Scripture has, all the writings in scrolls that have gone through the ages for thousands of years. It's just that there's really no way to put it. The world in which we live, the reality that we all share with this radio show, it's like a giant pit of quicksand. It's like a giant vacuum cleaner. It just sucks the energy right out of your body. I mean, you go to bed tired, you wake up tired. You go to bed knowing that you had things to do, but you just had to get some sleep. And when you wake up, you can't even enjoy the morning because you just realize all the stuff that you didn't get done the day before.
Yeah, that's so true for so many.
But you know, one of the things that frustrates children is the older you get, it frustrates you that your parents don't care. They don't see their mistakes, but they do see their mistakes. They don't seem to care about things because they've lived so long, they realize all the time that they wasted caring about things that mean absolutely nothing. Someone that's been diagnosed with a terminal illness, a near-death experience, they'll all tell you the same thing. They don't care. They could care less about things that just would drive most people crazy. Paying bills on time, credit ratings, whether your clothes match, did you brush your hair, if you answer a telephone call or let it go to voicemail. I mean, if you just stop for a second and realize that you are consciously enslaving yourself. You're making yourself so busy that you are ignoring the opportunity to have choices.
Yeah.
To have your own testimonies.
Mm-hmm.
To see grace. We have talked about this before, about how the world in the flesh is so wrong that it's really like an addictive drug, that you get so wound up that you lose sight of what's important. Ask yourself, when was the last time you saw a sunset or a sunrise? When was the last time a storm front was moving through your area in the afternoon and you just walked outside to see the different colors of red and pink and blue and gray as storm clouds are shined upon by the sun? When was the last time that you went outside and just looked up at the moon for no other reason than just to do it?
Sure.
To just spend time with a pet or a friend. To just really enjoy. I mean, it's really sad. Most people spend so much time working and are so busy that they never even get to truly enjoy their own home. They're never there. They're too busy paying for it. How sad is that? How sad is it to have such a huge car or truck payment that it's so high that you never really drive your new car or truck anywhere but to work because you have to pay for it?
Yeah.
What's the point of having it?
Right.
If you're too busy to drive it, to really enjoy it, why own it? These are the type of perspectives that go to what type of testimonies are you potentially open to. Notice I said potentially open to. These are the choices that we make. this shows the different testimonies. We got one here, email 7 minutes ago. It says, hello to everyone. This is from Roman.
Okay.
Roman says, hi to everybody listening. It says, hello to everyone. Question for Jim. When and where in Idaho are you going to be and how long?
Oh, we'll fly into Boise on the 21st and we'll fly out on the 28th.
I mean, this is a huge family get together where, I mean, you don't even have a moment to relax. It's just one thing after another when you're in Idaho. You're really busy.
Yes and no.
No, you're always telling me how busy you are and how it's tough for you to really get away because
well, maybe this year more so.
It's the holiday season. You just
right.
Yeah, because I've called you before and you're always saying I gotta go.
Yeah,
because everybody's pulling you in. Well, it's the
especially if they have snow and we end up going skiing too. Then
yeah.
It really gets like
I know
oh my God.
You're swamped every yeah. And matter of fact, I think when you come back from Christmas. That's when your vacation really should start. Okay, we got one here that says, I enjoy the way grace makes everything turn out better than you imagined or brings you things that you always wanted, even things that you didn't know you needed. He really does delight in us. I see his handiwork perfect all my tasks beyond what I thought possible. He keeps me steps ahead of what could be a busy life. My daughter came in the room today mumbling about wanting to play Barbies, but no one would play with her. She perked up and said, oh God, you come play with me. And they went on their merry way.
Huh.
Isn't that a nice email?
Yeah.
That's from Weaver Mom. It says, we got a text that just popped up on the screen. It says, hi, BJ and Jim. A pleasure listening to the program. We tend to want everything instant, but it is healing meant to be instantaneous or a process? Blessings. No, healings are meant to be instantaneous, not a
right.
process.
So if they're a process, it just means that we're learning on our side, because on God's side, it's already done.
Well, one of the things that organized religion does that is really a gimmick, salesmanship, a trap, and it's just a way to, there's no other way to put it, to dupe, trick people out of their money and their time, is to tell you that everything about the guys is a process, that it takes time and study, and that you need to do this and you need to do that, and it takes years of dedication, and you need to participate, and you need to tithe and pay more money and more money. Well, there's nothing in Scripture that says anything about time. Actually, it's the difference. It says, go in your room, close the door, pray in private. Your Father will answer you in private. Ask and you shall receive. There's nowhere in Scripture does it say, take a number, sit down and relax. We'll get to you in due time.
In fact, to be honest, so many testimonies that I've heard from individuals is just the opposite of what you would think. The testimonies come in as this. They'll say that when I first got saved, before I really knew what to do or where to go, I had tremendous experiences with God. God would come and talk with me. God would share things with me. I had all kinds of wonderful experiences with healing and everything else that goes along with being with God. But then I began to go certain places to worship, and my experiences began to dwindle, not increase, but got less. So that's just the interesting thought is, for most people that have been going to churches all their life, of which I thank God for churches, amen, I thank God that Jesus even made comment that we are the church. It's not just a building where people think that it has to all be, but we individually are the church, and I thank God for that. But my point is to say that so many places where we have gone and people have gone to worship have not encouraged the experiences of testimony. It's just the opposite. It's discouraged them.
Okay, folks, we need some text messages. We need some emails. The way you text the show is Ranger, R-A-N-G-E-R, Ranger, who we all miss. And we look forward to the new puppy, Robin, showing up. You type the word Ranger, And then when you press the send button after you type your message, your text message, it's 99000. To email the show, it's the name of the radio show, The Abiding Presence. No capital letters, no spaces. The Abiding Presence at G, the letter gmail.com. And yes, my voice is, here it comes, a little hoarse. I like it when my voice is a little gravelier and deeper. Anyways, you know, when I was younger, I ran into a doctor, a surgeon, and I said, can you go in and kind of screw up my vocal cords? And he says, why? And I says, because I sound like a little kid. I was like in my 20s or something.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I says, I want a deeper, more graveler voice.
What did he say?
He just looked at me like I was crazy.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I bet it's a pretty touchy thing. That's why he wouldn't want to touch that.
Well, then I went out. Then I took his daughter out. I dated his daughter, and he thought I was crazier. It didn't go well.
Huh. Doesn't sound like it did.
No, it was just a disaster. One disaster after another.
Yeah.
And, you know. All right, folks. Emails, text messages. Let us know how you feel, what you're thinking about tonight's topic, any questions that you have.
Yeah, I want to go back over something that I said earlier, but use a certain scripture to validate it here, and that is how the whole Bible really as a whole is one huge testimony. And I'm over here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 35. It talks about, well, the whole chapter is just talking about all the quote-unquote greats that you know of, which is, you know, Noah and Moses and Abraham and Sarah. What? What are you laughing at?
Because you're having a hard time thinking about names.
Oh, well, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Anyhow, I'm just thinking of the ones that it really highlights. And then it goes, after it gives us those, then it starts to more lump into a category all kinds of other individuals and speaks of them. And it says things like this. Let me just back up here and read this here. It talked about, all right, I'm here in verse 31. It says, I could go on, but I've run out of time. There are so many more, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets. Through acts of faith, they toppled kingdoms, made justice work, took the promises for themselves. They were protected from lions, fires, and sword thrusts, turned disadvantage to advantage, won battles, routed alien armies. Women received their loved ones back from the dead. There were those who were tortured, refused to give in and go free, preferring something better, resurrection. Others braved abuse and whips and, yes, chains and dungeons. We have stories of those who were stoned, sawn in two, murdered in cold blood. Stories of vagrants wandering in the earth in animal skins, homeless, friendless, powerless. The world didn't deserve them, making their way as best they could on the cruel edges of the world. Not one of these people, even though their lives of faith were exemplary, got their hands on what was promised. God had a better plan for us, that their faith and our faith would come together to make one completed whole, their lives of faith not complete apart from ours. And then verse 1 of chapter 12, notice what it says. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, the cross, the shame, whatever, and now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Now, I gather this is the Message Bible, but I wanted to share that with you because, again, it seems to bring a summary. It seems to typify the whole Bible as a whole. It should be, and it is, a book of testimony. A book of individuals finding God, testifying about the wonderful experiences of God. And if you don't mind me saying it, it is also a book that shares testimony of the negative consequences of those that don't find God. If you really think about it, Paul's writings himself. Half the book testifies to what doesn't work, while the other half testifies to what does work. I think this is really important and something that BJ and I discussed earlier on before the show tonight, and that is it's so easy to want to spend the majority of our time talking about wonderful things from the scriptures that make everybody feel good. But folks, feeling good while you still don't have your answers to prayers is actually a misrepresentation of truth. It's not accurate. What's accurate is you're feeling good because your prayers worked, because your connection with God has allowed you to experience God, because your connection with God has kept so many disadvantages away from you, and you find you have a great advantage. So, really, you could almost say, opposite to what people think, the testimony of Scripture does two things. One, it validates who God is, that God is there, and you can experience Him. And number two, it also validates what happens when you choose to not want Him. I think it's a really telling story here. And if you're hearing some noise in the background, we've got a little elf here, a 6'2" elf, working on his chair because he keeps going from, well, about 4 foot high sitting in the chair down to about 3 foot, three,
I am
three
so
and a
tired
half feet.
Of this stupid chair breaking on me. I'm just so sick and tired of this chair.
So anyhow, he's got his magical duct tape out.
Pocket knife.
And pocket knife, and he's working like crazy to rig his chair so it doesn't have to sink to the ground anymore. Folks, what do you think about some of the things that we're sharing here tonight? I trust that you're seeing how important it is that the scriptures and the real totality of scripture is presented in your life. That you don't just hear stories that make you feel good, but the representation is we still don't have tangible results. But you hear the things, the negative nuances of what happens to people that are attached to the world. Because what that does to you is it does open up your mind to say, I don't want that to happen. I mean, when Jesus makes the comment and says, yeah, the road to destruction is really wide, and there'll be a whole bunch of folks on that one. And then in contrast, he says, but the road that leads to eternal life, it's really narrow, and there'll just be a few. Well, notice how he says it. I mean, if he said, you know, it's kind of tit for tat, it's kind of either or, that'd be one thing. But no, I mean, the percentages he gives us are super high percentages on the side of destruction, and people are going to lose their lives and be in hellfire, and a small percentage of those that are going to find the Lord. Because what should that do? I know you're really proud about your chair right now, but I'm going to finish this. What should that do? It should cause you to say, well, my God, if the percentages are that bad and in favor of hell, I'm going to make sure that I choose on purpose to be in heaven with Jesus. Well, what do you think over there?
Okay, last time I'd used like packing tape that you buy at the post office. Well, that just lasted for like about a week. But tonight, I used the duct tape of duct tapes. Notice how this is jet black duct tape?
Right.
This isn't just any old gray duct tape. This is turbocharged. This is called Gorilla. Have you heard of Gorilla Glue?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, well, Gorilla Glue makes duct tape, and it's called Gorilla Duct Tape. And it is thicker, stronger, 10 times stickier than any other duct tape. And I just used about 5 miles. Well, I didn't use that much.
To prop up your chair.
Well, yeah, you notice how I just systematically I keep going to the ground like I'm rolling downhill. And I don't see, I think it's rude that you would make fun of me. I think that's just wrong.
You told me earlier that I should.
Yeah, but just because I said it, I didn't think you'd actually do it. Oh. Okay, folks, here we go. All right, here we go. When you hear a dog barking Christmas music, folks, that is a sign of an official Robin report. I had two Facebook private messages, and I had an email here. People are just wanting to comment. They're very excited that the show is getting a new chocolate Labrador puppy. Her name is Robin. I'm picking her up Christmas Eve. And if you would like to send an envelope to Robin, helping to contribute to things, Jim and I would be very grateful. And it's the P.O. Box 68, Bixby, Oklahoma. And we had one person that they said, why not go to your local animal shelter and adopt a dog? It's a very good, legitimate question. I didn't go to a shelter because this is me personally. You can fault me for it if you want. My favorite dog in the whole world is a chocolate Labrador retriever, a female. I enjoy having a puppy. The bond that takes place between a puppy that has just left its brothers and sisters and its mom for the new world. Seeing the fear in its eyes turn to love and trust as it bonds to me. Teaching it the basic skills to be housebroke, to learn the way around the ranch so it doesn't get hurt, to build a relationship together. And I'm not saying you can't do that with a puppy from the pound or a shelter, but I like what I like, and it's a personal choice. But we address all emails and texts that come in. There's plenty of time to text the show or email the show, and so please take advantage of that. Notice how tall I am now?
Yeah, you really put yourself up there.
I jacked up the chair all the way, and I got, like I said, 85 miles of Gorilla Tape trying to hold this chair up so I don't systematically sink to the ground. Oh, we got an email that just came in. It said, I like this. It says, hi, Jim and BJ. Please withhold my name. It says, should places of worship have a prominent place in our lives? I have yet to find one that actually encourages testimonies from those attending. I've attended well over 40, quote-unquote, churches. I'm growing in my relationship with God, and my connection gets stronger daily, but my family is not at all. They have given up going to, quote-unquote, church altogether. I don't even know how to get them back. My husband is somewhat sympathetic to my faith journey, but everyone else, especially my kids, thinks I'm just weird. They've grown up with religion and have no interest in knowing that God is real, is really real. Jim, you go first, and then I'll go. This is a very, very good email.
Well, first of all, you know, you can look at this a couple different directions, because there's such good evidence in the Scripture with what Jesus did to put gifts in the body of Christ, put leadership positions in the body of Christ to help people find God himself. And Jesus, of course, uses the word, and so does Paul, talking about the church, talking about gathering together, coming together. So it's not as though there's anything in Scripture that's telling us you're not supposed to be able to experience the wonderful blessing of being able to go somewhere and have a church experience. We're not against church. We're not against people coming together and meeting together and finding God. What we're trying to do here on the show is separate so much of what's out there which is not helping a person find God. I know there's been some pastor friends of mine that have been concerned about the show at times because of this very subject.
They're not concerned about the show. They're concerned about me. Well, and our friendship. I mean, let's be honest.
Well,
it's not the show.
Well, yeah, and the point is, their concern is what we're talking about right now. They're concerned because they're pastors, and they want validation for what they do, and the scriptures do validate. Like I said to one of the pastor friends, I said, well, the very fact that you're asking questions about this, in a sense, from one perspective, helps me to feel like we're doing our job, which is you're asking yourself the question, am I a real church? Do I feel like what we're doing here is really helping people to experience God, and people are being encouraged to have an individual relationship? Because that's what we're sharing on the show. And so on one hand, if you can't find a place that encourages personal growth, well, why can't you experience God on your own? And why can't you get together with some of your friends and experience God that way?
My first comment to something that you said is validation is in my world, in the world of horses, trainers, horseshoers, farriers, veterinarians, there's a old saying, hundreds of years, you're only as good as the last horse you touch.
Mm-hmm.
Reputation doesn't mean anything. It's what did you do for the last horse you touched? Were you successful or were you a failure? I think that someone that stands in front of a group of people, in front of a pulpit on a stage, wants them to give them money, wants them to listen to what they say. I think they should be held to a higher standard than anybody else. Because scripture says those who preach will be judged more harshly. I think that anybody that stands in front of a group, I think there should be an age-old saying that says you're only as good as the last person you counseled. In other words, if you've got 300 people in a building and nobody's having any prayers answered and nobody has any real testimonies, that's not a church. Because in Scripture, it clearly says a church is where people get together and they testify. They talk about their wonderful relationship with Christ, their successes, their healings, their prayers, and what they see grace do. It isn't about God is good, God is great, let's hold hands, let's sing, let's pass the plate, have donuts and coffee, and pat each other on the back and tell each other what good human beings we are. That's fine, but it's not going to get you to heaven. You've got to have a relationship that has nothing to do with anybody but yourself and Christ.
Right. Yeah, I wholly agree with that. So,
but I, something else I want to, I really can't speak intelligently to this because I don't have family. I don't have children. Ranger was my child. My first dog, Rose, was my child. And Robin, when I drive to Missouri Christmas Eve and pick that chocolate lab up that I'm going to name Robin, I got pick of the litter. She will be my family, and she will be your and your family too. I hope you feel that way because that's the way you felt about Ranger. Is I want to make a comment here. You're making changes in your life the way you worship. And I think what you can do is invite them to listen to the show. Tell them how you agree that the 40 quote-unquote buildings, they weren't churches, they were buildings. The 40 buildings that you went to, how they were unsatisfying to you and they didn't help you. A lot of times, people that try to get family and friends to turn towards Christ, they're afraid to talk about their own failures, their own misgivings, their negative outcomes, because they're afraid that somebody will just look at them and say, well, see, it doesn't work for you either. But at the same time as you talk about your failures, you can talk about your successes, where you are now versus where you were 6 months ago or a year or 10 years ago, to let them know that you were unsatisfied as well, that you had an emptiness, that things weren't good for you, and that's why you sought out something different.
Yeah, I think it's actually a travesty when you look at this testimony of the email. When you see that family members are disillusioned about church, there's 40 places that you've been to and you're still not satisfied. I realize someone could say, well, that's just her opinion. Yeah, but again, remember, if a place where you're going, people are receiving wonderful testimonies and there's a constant flow where it becomes normal for people to experience God, that right there in itself is so satisfying. Why would you ever want to go somewhere else? So I think this is a real serious subject. And to be honest, as a minister, I find this to be one of the most offensive subjects to other ministers. And it shouldn't be. It should be that all ministers would look at the things that we're saying and, in a sense, applaud what we're saying, because don't we all need to open up our hearts to find the highest and the best and experience God in a way that would satisfy people's lives, where kids don't have to be lost, where they don't have to try to say, I'm not never going to a particular place to worship again because I'm disillusioned, where they'd be able to go anywhere and find God? And because that's not true, do you change things by ignoring that and denying that those realities are definitely very, very prominent in what we call our religious circles? Or by asking the questions, opening up your heart, isn't it the greater possibility that people will begin to discover, my goodness, we're not really doing what we thought? And that's exactly where change comes, when people begin to repent.
We got an email here that came in 3 minutes ago. It says, hi, BJ and Jim. It says, my testimony is I'm experiencing grace in a more tangible way recently than I have in the past. And then, Jim, they got a question specifically for you. In John 21, Jesus appeared to the disciples alive after being raised from the dead. Why didn't the disciples recognize that it was the Lord before they caught all the fish? Also, I sent you guys some snacks. Oh, and something for Robin. It should arrive on Thursday. Oh, that's nice. This is from Diane.
Uh-huh.
So we got snacks coming, and she sent something for the new puppy, Robin, that we'll get Christmas Eve.
Good.
So want to talk about John 21, Jesus appeared to the disciples, raised up from the dead, and something about fishing? You want me to read it again?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to turn there. I mean, I know what passage
you're talking
about.
Okay, it says, question for Jim. John 21, Jesus appeared to the disciples alive after being raised from the dead.
Right.
Why didn't the disciples recognize that it was the Lord before they caught all the fish?
Well, if you'll remember, and this is going to be like a real religious answer here, but if you'll remember, even the two men that were walking on the road to Emmaus, that Jesus came up and started talking to, remember, who were discussing, hey, did you hear about the prophet Jesus? And he died, and I can't believe he died. And they were talking about Jesus, and Jesus appeared to them, and they didn't even know that it was him. And Jesus started kind of baiting them by asking them questions. And finally, Jesus allowed their eyes to be opened, and they saw who it was. Well, this is just kind of, it kind of is an example of the fact that in the new covenant, when people get to know Christ as Lord and Savior, they come alive on the inside. And so this is showing us right here that even for the disciples, that there was a moment where, almost like before, they're walking with only a part of their eyes being dim, a part of their eyes, you know, allowed to see. And that when Jesus told them to cast the net on the other side, and they caught all those fish, it opened up their eyes. They all recognized that it was him, and they came running to the Lord. So I think it's significant of the fact that Paul prayed and said, Lord, open their eyes that they would see. He's talking about us. Because think about it. How many of us are still struggling with seeing ourselves after the flesh attached to the world? Wouldn't it be nice for our eyes to be open to see spiritual things to be a greater reality? I think that's what this is showing us right here. Same story.
All right, let's check. I'm going to refresh the screen, see if we got any more emails. Last warning, folks. It's time to send any text messages or emails that you'd like. We just got one that came in right now. It says, Jim, Diane and I are so excited about you coming to our church in January. Are you going to be teaching at Healing School? This is from Venetia and Deco. They're in Canada.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing a Sunday service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, I believe. And then I'm going to be doing a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday in the school. And I'm also going to be doing a Tuesday night healing service.
You'll be doing stuff during the day?
Yeah.
So you're going to be there for how long? A whole week?
Yeah, I'll leave on a Saturday, come back on a Saturday.
Are we going to do a show with Skype, or are you going to have to record one?
Record, because the Tuesday night will be a meeting.
Oh, speaking about meetings, tomorrow night, Hardesty Library?
7 o'clock, 7 to 8. Yes.
And Facebook, you can watch and watch Jim live and listen tomorrow night on his Facebook page.
Or jimhockaday.com. It'll say live stream.
We got one here. It says, Hi, Jim and BJ. Can you please help me by providing a practical way to avoid stress so it doesn't affect my body physically, especially in my back? I know that God doesn't want me to experience this stress, and my chiropractor says a lot of my pain is stress-related. I know God is real in my life, and Jesus took my sickness and disease. I'm trying to figure this out and overcome the stress by believing Jesus and his finished work on my behalf. Hi to all the listeners from up here in Alberta, Canada. Love to you all. You going to say something?
Well, no. I mean, weren't you, didn't it, wasn't addressed to you?
No, it's both of us. Go ahead.
Oh. Well, of course, stress. I mean, think about what that says. It says, where's your focus? Where's your direction? So over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 4 and 5, it talks about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, demolishing arguments and imaginations that set themselves up against the knowledge of God, taking every thought captive. So see, when I'm thinking about you in stress, all I can see is, number one, where's your thoughts during the day? Where are your thoughts connected to? Your feelings, your emotions. If they're connected to the things of the world, then of course you set yourself up for all kinds of anxiety, stress, and difficulty, worry, and things like that. So number one, take a hold of your thoughts. Keep your mind on Christ.
Okay. When you were a kid, when you were in school, all of us, and except the Weaver kids, they don't get to go to school. They're homeschooled. And they never get a summer vacation, holiday breaks. It's just school all day, every day. Except for the 16-year-old, Daniel. He showed up at the ranch. He says, can I live in the barn? I need to get away from my brothers and sisters. They're driving me crazy. I'll live in the barn with the barn cats and the horses. I just need space. I felt sorry for him. He crawled underneath the gate, came up. Okay, when you were a kid in school and you were worried about a homework assignment, or you were worried about making it to the next grade, were you going to flunk, were you going to be held after school, were you in trouble, you would say, oh, my life is over, I'm dead. And then a year or two would go by and you couldn't even remember what that drama was about. And you fast forward all these years later and you realize that that was kid stuff. It didn't really matter. Well, no matter if it has to do with your job or your school or whatever you're going through in your life, you're going to find that about 95 to 98% of the stuff that you lose sleep over, that takes your appetite away or makes you eat more, that makes you sad, that makes it so you can't fall asleep, and it just seems to consume your thoughts, is temporary, and it's really not that important when it comes to your life. And so the reason a lot of times we have stress is because we consciously choose to build something up, to make it important.
Right.
To make a mountain out of a molehill.
Yep.
And it's even worse if someone else thinks it's bad. Or if you say, someone says, oh, what's wrong? And you tell them, blah, 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 yada, yada. And they go, oh, my gosh, that is so similar to what I'm going through or what my friend is going through. Oh, it's really bad. They're all upset. They can't eat. They can't sleep. It's terrible. It's really bad. And then all of a sudden you think, oh, my gosh, the whole world thinks it's bad. Well, I need to think it's bad, too. I mean, misery does love company. And the world and the flesh loves to mess with your mind.
Yeah.
To fool you into thinking that things are more important than they really are. There's really only one thing that's important.
Yep.
And that is, do you believe in Christ? Do you have a relationship with Christ? Because the closer you become, the greater your testimonies. You'll have testimonies. The rest will fall into place. It sounds simple because, frankly, it is. It's simple. It's just not easy because you literally have to let go. 5 minutes ago, hi, Jim, BJ, another inspiring show. Whenever I'm off track, the show often gets me back on course. Thanks. By the way, I, too, am looking forward to meeting Robin. Grace always, Florida Ed. We've heard from Breakfast Ed and
yep.
Florida Ed.
That's nice.
We didn't hear from Real Estate Bob, Business Card Bob. We didn't hear from Dave and Barb, Stovetop Sue. You know, we didn't hear from the family in Wyoming.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't hear from them. I hope they listen. Well, what do you think about... we just got this. We got a text. He jumped your fence, and when he landed, the bag of cookies went flying. I told him to be careful and not to break them. Oh, those little chocolate things were cookies. I thought they were candies. He jumped the fence. Why didn't he just crawl underneath the gate? That's what the coyotes and the possums do. This has got to be from Mom Weaver. He jumped your fence, and when he landed, the bag of cookies went flying. I told him to be careful and not break them. It's got to be from...
Hey, Heather, your recipe for those...
Popcorn balls
was pretty amazing, just letting
They're
you
tremendous.
Know.
Tremendous, yep. Good old Mom Weaver. Good old Mom Weaver. Grandma Weaver, she'll be someday. Good old little old lady Weaver, baking, good cook, homeschools her kids. What do you think, Jim?
Well, I think as far as tonight's concerned, I think it each week I think we strike a note in people's lives and hearts with subject matter that just kind of gets right to the heart of how people live. I think there's some weeks maybe when people listen, you might be able to say, well, you know, I'm doing pretty good there, but boy, I can see so many people struggling. And again, the things that we share are for you to be able to make choices that help you to find grace. That's the number one priority so that you can begin to experience God yourself. I trust everybody. It was real clear for the topic when we were talking about churches. So that you can understand how that it's so important for you individually to begin to move forward and progress with God. And we certainly wish upon everyone out there that you can find an amazing and wonderful place called a church where people are experiencing the Lord right along with you and being in great encouragement.
Well, we do, but they're hard to come by.
They are.
There's not very many of them around, unfortunately. But there's plenty of places that... I don't know. They talk a good game, but that's it. It's just talk. It sounds good, but... Are you ready to say something to music?
I am.
That is good? Horse whinnying in the background.
I could hear that, yep. Well, tonight we're so glad that you dropped by to listen here the last couple of hours. We've been with you. And so I just want to pray according to what we were talking about earlier with the email that came in about the disciples at the boat, that your eyes would also, just like theirs were, the testimony of Christ, what they saw, what they experienced, caused them to know this couldn't happen unless Jesus was a part of it. So let it be that your eyes are opened every week, every day, so you can begin to see life through the eye of the Spirit. In other words, the way that God sees you and the way that you can see other people. Simple little choices like we've talked about. Maybe they're not easy, but they are simple. And you can experience God every day. What's the possibility that you're missing so many of those testimonies? Well, let's begin to have them each and every day. Thanks for listening.
Well, we got a text message that just came in. It says, he is way too cool to crawl.
Oh, that's good.
Daniel Weaver, why would he be too cool to crawl? That's silly. That's ridiculous.
Well, maybe he just enjoyed jumping. I mean, he might be good at jumping.
I don't know. Better be good at crawling, because if you jump long enough, you'll land wrong and you will be crawling. Gravity. Well, folks, we've had a really good show. I want to welcome all the new listeners to the show. I want to thank the Weaver family for the fresh
yes.
baked goods.
Yep.
I want to thank Grandma and Grandpa Outlaw Bikers from Morgan Hill, California, for the two boxes of See's candy.
Pretty great.
Peanut
yep.
brittle and mixed chocolates. I want to thank Dennis and Muriel Mattson. The
yes.
first envelope we received for Robin to help out with Robin. Thank you so much for that.
Yes.
That was a wonderful surprise. And all the emails and text messages that we got tonight, sharing your thoughts on testimonies. And on a personal note, it's nice that you folks are excited about a new Chocolate Lab puppy on the show. There'll be more Robin reports in the shows to come. As Christmas Eve gets closer, I'll be driving 6 hours into Missouri and 6 hours back to Oklahoma with a 6-week-old chocolate lab puppy whose name will be Robin Rickard. And be neat to hear a puppy bark on the show.
It will be, yep.
So, well, I guess it's time to hear some music somewhere, isn't it? I thought we had a good show.
I did too.
Did the point get covered that you wanted?
Yeah, I think so. It always does. Thanks, everybody, for listening tonight.
Take care of your pets and yourself.
Enjoy the archives when you get a chance.
Boy, it's breaking my heart because, you know, Ranger would be going crazy right now.
Yeah, she always seemed
to know.
She always
knew.
Yep.
Ranger's with the guys, along with my other dog, Rose, my horses, Shady and Shadow, and I'm sure a lot of your pets as well. Wherever the dogs and the horses go, that's where I'm going, I promise you. Good night, everybody. We'll give you more reports on Robin. The address to the radio show is P.O. Box 68, Bixby, Oklahoma, and it's on the contacts page. Remember, tomorrow night, Hardesty Library, 7 o'clock Central Time. Check out the Facebook page. Good night.
Good night, everyone.